Good morning. Welcome in. It's WEEI Football Sunday. Nice to have you with us today. Great work there by Jacob on that montage of what was a very tumultuous week here for your New England Patriots, culminating today with a visit from the New York Jets at Gillette Stadium, a 1 o'clock tip-off as we get you ready for that with all the news of the day, some stuff from Mike Reese that shines a light on the more, I guess, insubordination that was going on this time in England with some of the wide receivers, some of whom may be tapped upon today. As we already know, Jalen Polk is out. He's dealing with a concussion. May see some new names out there getting some reps. It's going to be an interesting day, I think, all around here, Mego, as Chris Scheim not with us today. He's dealing with strep throat. T's and P's to him. Hope he gets better soon. Mego is here, though, and we got the usual lineup today. We'll be talking with Tommy Curran. We'll be talking with Fitzy here in just a little bit. Live from the tailgate. We'll also have Andy Hart with us a little bit later on. I think we have Wiggy's keys, although I'm not sure about that because Jacob said he can't find them. So we'll see if we end We end up with that or not. But let's go ahead and start with the week that was, Mego. A tough week here in Foxborough.
You know what? A good week for getting news stories.
Yes.
I'll say that much. A good week for you guys having stuff to talk about.
This media civil war thing that's going on right now, which, by the way,
you knew what was happening in my house.
I don't want to spend a lot of time on this today, but I just got to say, yesterday I was like a pig in slop. Like, I was just so happy. Everything, Giardi's coming out, he's calling people jackass. We're playing Lazar and he's ripping everybody, like Perillo's jumping in over the top rope.
It's not just that. The Walking Bets drama is back.
The Walking Bets thing, well, that may be over now.
Well, I can't understand.
Looks like
it,
Lucy's got a big pelt on her wall.
Yeah, good job, Lucy, but I also don't understand anything about crypto.
Yeah,
so yesterday someone tried to explain to me the alleged crypto scheme with Taylor Mathis, and I was like, I feel like I need just like a handbook on how to understand any of this. So.
I think anyone who invests in crypto, when the rug gets pulled, when Matt Damon's like, oh, sorry, actually, it's not a real thing.
Matt Damon's involved in crypto?
Or Tom Brady or Larry David, all these people,
me Matt Damon's not.
Matt Damon was definitely involved in one of the crypto things.
Wow, really
maybe he was. I think he was.
Out.
But either way, if you get involved in the crypto and you lose your money, I have no sympathy for you whatsoever.
Yeah, crypto's a big red flag.
It's such a scam. Like, come on. Anyways, we're not here to talk about crypto. We're not really here to talk about Walking Bets and Taylor Mathis, Lucy Burge, or any of that stuff. Let's go ahead and start here with what went on this week, why it seems like, we don't have to get into the media thing too much, but it does seem like people are starting to turn on each other, not just on the team or behind the scenes, in the media as well. It seems like there are a lot of blades out right now. Everybody's sort of staking their own corner of this thing.
I think it's all just symptoms of the rampant dysfunction down there. And Arcan, I expected the team to perform poorly. I expected the team to only have a handful of wins, if that.
Yep.
And that's looking like a stretch at this point in the season. I didn't expect the team to look and feel and sound as dysfunctional as they have this week. And it really feels like things are reaching a point now. Like, I don't know. It feels like the cracks within everything down there are beyond fractures. Like, it's becoming very, very disorganized. If guys are out there individually saying things about themselves and what they want and what their goals are, it doesn't seem very team oriented. I'm not sure who the leaders left in that locker room are, because a lot of the guys that were supposed to be leaders are either injured, so they're not really having any kind of impact on the team day to day, or they are in a terrible situation like Jabril Peppers.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the identity of this team is, other than a mess.
Yeah, a mess is a good way of putting it. And it's interesting you pointed out the individuals, and I know we're going to get to this, obviously, but the wide receiver room is the poster children for this right now. Because, and this was sort of the genesis of this whole media beef, is that Lazar was saying, well, you know, people are going in there to get these quotes from the wide receivers, and they're taking the quotes out of context, and they're just having an agenda, and blah, 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 blah.
It's ridiculous.
Well, it is ridiculous because it doesn't seem like any reporter has to go very far to get sound from these wide receivers. It's not like they're, you know, following them home or banging on their door or, you know, calling them in the middle of the night demanding sound. They're getting sought out. They're being sought out by these players to say, hey, I need the ball more. Hey, I can't believe that, you know, that I have to even ask to get the ball passed to me. Hey, it's an alley-oop. I want to get traded out of here. Like, they're not badgering these guys. They're not going up there demanding quotes. And I don't think they're really twisting anything either.
Not at all.
They're catching all of this.
I've been in that locker room. And let me tell you, there's no gray area with these conversations. These are people who have been reporting on the team for a while at a high level, going up to guys at their locker with a recording device in front of them, asking them questions with the media handlers, the PR professionals in the same room.
Coach Stacy, you mean?
Like, tell me what the problem is there. As Paul Perillo, and if you don't know what we're talking about, it was from a Patriots Unfiltered show. Ironic title there, given what...
Given the amount of filtering that's been going on, yes.
But Paul Perillo was great on that when he said, that's the job.
That is the job.
Yes, thank you. And that's all I'll say about that.
All right, fair enough. And I do think that just the larger point here is that no one's really afraid to sound off about how they're feeling about this season. And I know there's still a lot of football to be played yet.
And it's a lot of, what about me?
Yeah.
What about me-ism?
How come
I'm not getting the ball? What about me? Like, it's definitely not what you want to hear from any members of your team, but particularly guys who you want to be supporting your young rookie quarterback, who doesn't seem to be like what about me-ing at all at any point.
Yeah.
Like, Drake's not like what about me.
No, he's doing the opposite of that. And I think he's taken on that whole thing maybe because he notices this is what the locker room's like right now, and I'm going to have to be above all this because, number one, he's the one who's passing the ball. So the what about me thing for Drake May would have just been, hey, how come I'm not playing? Once you're playing and you're out there, you touch the ball every single snap. So it's a little bit different from the wide receivers. But I do understand his whole take on this is – very, considering his age, he's 22 years old. These other guys, you know, not much older than him, but still, they've been in the league at least a year or so. And it's very, very different just in terms of maturity and entitlement and some of these other things that are going on here. The big elephant in the room, though, Mego, is that these wide receivers aren't very good.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're just so comfortable. It's one thing when Steph Diggs in Buffalo is like, hey,
yeah,
and he's getting
a pain in the ass, but he's worth it.
Right. He's getting like 200 targets a year, and he's like, I need the ball more. And it's like, Steph, you're getting every single pass that he's throwing. Like, what are you talking about? But you put up with it because he's good. Well, eventually they traded him, so they didn't put up with it forever. But, like, that's the type of guy that you say, all right, yeah, this guy's ridiculous.
You can live with him for, like, 2 or 3 years.
Sure, but you can't do that when you're Pop Douglas and Kayshon Booty and Jalen Polk and KJ Osborne. And it's like, how do they not see this? How do they not grasp that? How do they look around at this situation and think, yeah, you know what's really going to help get everything back on track? Me popping off and demanding the ball more. Like, it's very weird.
There's this sense of, because things are so bad with the team right now and the way that they've been completely uncompetitive the last 2 weeks, and that's the thing that's really awful to watch.
Yeah.
Is it's not like you're losing like in the Seattle game, which would at least look like there was some growth or you were in it or you were playing in the same league. You were so uncompetitive in the last 2 weeks. It's just embarrassing. And one of them to one of the other worst teams in the league when you're over in London. But it's like, it's obvious that the team is slipping. Things are falling apart down there. And instead of looking at each other and saying, hey, what can we do to galvanize this locker room,
right,
to lift each other up, to improve the level of play on the field? It's, what can I put on tape? What does my stat line look like? Where am I in the box score? What are people going to think at the end of the season about me? Like, it's a gross way to go about it, but I think you see it with locker rooms when teams are this bad all the time.
Yep. Last 2 weeks, they've been outscored 73-37, which is certainly not very good. And there's this now, too, from Mike Reese. Guys are on the trade block. This may be, and I know Elliott Wolf said, we'll never, ever tank. We would never do that. We respect the game too much to ever try and tank the season or trade away all our pieces or whatever. Then they traded Matthew Judon. But now here's this. According to Mike Reese, Josh Uche is among the top Patriots players who teams have inquired about as the NFL's trade deadline approaches, according to team and league sources. First of all, who's inquiring about Josh Uche?
Okay, so this is what I was wondering, because, of course, last week we start the conversations of, well, who could they trade? Who's worth parting with? And I'm like, who are you even showcasing right now? Who can you showcase? What are you going to get for Josh Uche?
I can't imagine, but Reese writes that the modest salary along with his ability to rush the passer, this year. I don't know about that.
Yeah, where has that been showcased?
That makes him an attractive option for teams that are exploring the possibility of adding players leading up to the deadline. Meanwhile, the Patriots are 1-6 and currently positioned to be among the group of teams willing to trade players for future assets. That's why Uche knows his time in New England could be short-lived. There's a couple other names that get tossed around, like KJ Osborne, for example. Not in this article.
tossed around by himself.
He was tossing that one around. I think Jonathan Jones is another name that is just naturally going to pop up here.
He's a vet.
A productive defensive back. He's a veteran on the team, and it seems like there'd be some value there. But aside from that, who's got value? And I think in the wide receiver room and maybe some other places too, like if you want to trade veterans for draft capital, fine. But when it comes to these wide receivers, like addition by subtraction may be on the table here.
Who would that be? Because they tried to dangle Thornton out there, and
right.
Nobody seems to be interested in that because he has never done anything in a game.
Mm-hmm. Pop Douglas may have some trade value.
You think so?
Yeah. I don't know if I'd want to trade him, but I think he might have. He might have the most value in that room.
He might be your number one receiver right now.
Yeah, or Booty too. Booty's, I think, you know, maybe boosted his. And it's another thing. There's a big wide receiver crisis going on in the league right now. All these wide receivers are going down with injuries. Oh yeah, all around the league, it seems like the Niners lost both their guys. Buccaneers lost both their guys. Like there's teams out there that are desperate for wide receiver help just because of these injuries. And it seems like every week a new team just has their entire wide receiver core wiped out. So I think that there may be some, I don't know about demand, but there may be some inquiries made about a Kayshon Booty or a Pop Douglas or even a Jalen Pye. I have no idea. I think that could happen. I think you could see people start making calls here. And if I'm Elliott Wolf, I'm not just looking at the conditional seventh-round pick that you might get from these guys. I'm looking at a culture change because right now I think that's representative of a really fractured culture in this locker room.
I get that, but I don't think it's necessarily just like there's a couple guys who are poisoning the well. It's more just like the well is dry. You know?
Yeah, maybe.
What is the message down there? That's what I really don't understand behind the scenes, because what we get front-facing from Jerat Mayo is just so convoluted, and he backtracks all the time. I'd rather him just go out there and say something and just stick with it. Even if, like, maybe it looks like the wrong thing, I just would like to get a sense of conviction from him instead of what it looks like, which is, depending on who he's talking to, he just wants that person to agree with him and, like, be happy with him.
Right. Then there's this from also from Reese here. Javon Baker on the bench. Before the Patriots can trust rookie receiver Javon Baker on the field, the fourth-round pick from UCF needs to earn more trust off of it. Baker had a quote-unquote hiccup in London last week when it came to following at least one part of the team's itinerary.
A hiccup?
What's that? They were supposed to go to Piccadilly Circus or something and he didn't show up? According to team sources, he was inactive for the third straight game due to this hiccup. Baker, whose ability to make plays down the field was one of his top assets coming out of college, played 6 offensive snaps and 5 special team snaps in week 2. Didn't play on offense week 3, contributed 6 on special teams in week 3. He hasn't seen the field since. Tightening up things was a team-wide theme upon returning home from London. This London trip seems like it was really...
just a total disaster.
Really bad. I mean, yeah, like, this is...
Pop ate something over there, got sick, got food poisoning.
Guys are sick. Bourne's calling out people for staying out too late and eating weird stuff. Baker had a hiccup in the itinerary. Like, this is a coach who doesn't have any sort of hold on his team at all, no sort of grip whatsoever. And I'm not expecting him to walk in there and have everybody respect him like he's Belichick right away. But if you're a player's coach, if you're someone who, they respect him because he played the game and he treats them like men and all this other stuff, that doesn't seem to be reflected at all, really, at all, up and down this roster, I'd say, in any demonstrable way.
I agree. I also think that, again, there's just such a lack of guys who are going to carry out whatever the marching orders from Jerat Mayo are
right
in that locker room. Like, that would have been Juwan Bentley. Honestly, it would have been Jabril Peppers. Like, guys who would hold other guys in the locker room accountable. Like, hey, what are you doing? That's not professional. Stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
There have always been those guys, whether it's Devin McCourty or, in a quieter way, Matthew Slater or Tom Brady, where they hold a standard and they hold you to it. And I think, again, because of injuries, trades, just the young makeup of the roster, they're not in there.
Nope.
And that presents another challenge.
Yeah, certainly looks that way. All right, we got a lot to get to here over the course of the next 3 hours. We got Fitzy joining us live from the parking lot. That's coming your way at quarter of. Tommy Kern at 11. We'll have Andy Hart joining the show at 12 noon. And coming up next, Mego put a poll out on Twitter yesterday, I believe, right? Late last night? Or was it early this morning?
Early this morning.
I saw it this morning. I assumed it was from last night. It is the emotional polar coaster. It has been quite a polar coaster this week, I would say, with this team, with this locker room, with the head coach and everybody else. We'll get to that and the matchup here with the New York Jets, a team that's also been going through some tumultuous times lately with some bad losses here, despite Aaron Rodgers playing GM over there. So we'll get into all of that right after Jacob tells you what's trending. All right, we're back here. It's WEEI Football Sunday. Nice to have you with us here today. We got open phone lines, 617-779-7937. A lot of people have been chiming in all week long about the state of this team, state of the offense, state of the coaching staff, state of the organization in general. If you'd like to chime in on that before kickoff, you certainly can at 617-779-7937. We got room for you. But right now it is time to get back on the emotional polar coaster with Megan Ottolini. Mego, what was the poll question this week?
So today's poll question is, what's your biggest area of concern for the Patriots today? Offensive line, quarterback, defense, or coaching? Offensive line, this has just been a theme for the season, got about 40% of votes. Quarterback only got 1%.
Who voted for, what one person even voted for quarterback?
One person decided that they were concerned about Drake May.
I'm a little surprised that anybody voted for quarterback.
Defense got 21% and coaching got 37%. So overall, offensive line and coaching are the biggest areas of concern for respondents. And I think I got to go with coaching, because it has not been a good showing for the coaches throughout the entire season. Basically after week two, and even week two had some questionable spots with how they've been managing the clock at the end of the first half. That's been an ongoing theme. Is this team going to be ready to go? You're seeing a divisional opponent in the Jets. You completely look like the team that is the get-right team for the rest of the league.
Oh, yeah.
And the Jets have added Davante Adams, and they're trying to salvage their season.
And they just got Reddick back. They just finally finalized that. So,
that was, you know, they have their own type of dysfunction, but they still got a chance to be in the playoffs, to be something, and to salvage something with this Aaron Rodgers situation. And so I'm sure that they're looking at you like, okay, here's our opportunity. It's the lowly Patriots, and it's probably the worst team in the league outside of maybe Carolina. And your coaching, you need a team that goes out there today and shows a little pride, because I think that's something that's been lacking for most of this season from them.
I would agree with that 100% since the Gatorade bath, really. You haven't seen much pride being taken in the way this team plays and the way they do anything. I'm not shocked by the way that the voting panned out here, but I voted for the defense, and I know that's only like 21%. I'm surprised anyone voted quarterback. Offensive line's going to be a recurring theme, but I thought the O-line was a little bit better last week, and the coaching...
I'm kind of just like done being concerned about the offensive line, because my expectations are very, very low, so I just go, what am I going to be concerned about? They're bad every week, except for when Vidarian Lowe is able to be healthy enough to play in the game, when they look mostly okay.
Yeah, and we'll see exactly how it pans out today. Robinson's ruled out. Lowe is limited all week, and he's questionable, so we'll see when the inactives come out about an hour from now, who's going to be in and who's going to be out on the offensive line, but I'll shelve that one for now. I think that coaching-wise, there's a lot to be said for the way this team's coached and how dysfunctional it appears to be. But when I look at the offense last week, I don't think Alex Van Pelt called a bad game. You know, I really don't. I thought that he had the quarterback going. There were some times where I thought maybe he leaned on the run a little much when it wasn't going there. But I didn't think it was bad.
I didn't like the play calling at all.
You didn't like it at all?
Well, no. Of course, the opening drive and really the first two drives were clearly successful and well-planned and well-executed. But I thought that then the obsession with establishing the run when they went away from Drake for really the second and third quarters, I just don't get it. I feel more like that either that's Alex Van Pelt's comfort zone, or he wants to take some of the responsibility and burden off Drake because it was only a second start. But I didn't get it. It's the one thing that was working for you, and you completely went away from it.
Well,
and then they tried to go back to it.
They only ran the ball 15 times. Like, you know, Drake May threw 37 passes, and they ran the ball 15 times.
Right, but it's not just about how
and
often
May was
they
three
did.
Of those.
It's
know?
About when they did.
I suppose you're right. I mean, there were times in the drive where it was like, okay,
the momentum of the offense came to a screeching halt, yeah. And they're putting up 22 points in a quarter on the other side.
Yeah, and that was really, and that's why I picked the defense, because I think that this defense right now, and they've been called out and then defended by Bill Belichick, but called out by their head coach, and I think that's who he was referring to when he called him soft. He was talking about the defense. Like that's what that seemed like to me. I know it was, well, we got to run the ball and stop the run. He's a defensive guy. He was talking about this team getting just punked around by Tank Bigsby in that old line there in Jacksonville, and that's what he was referring to. And listen, whether it's that, Trevor Lawrence had a very good game, by the way. People act like it was all the run game. Trevor Lawrence was 15 for 20, 193 yards and a touchdown.
It turned Brian into the Thomas, run game because you couldn't stop it.
Right, exactly. Brian Thomas was eating your lunch. Evan Engram was making plays out there. It was one of those type of games where, and it's been like this all year, I didn't really see anything on defense that made me think, oh, well, if they could just stop this, they have this they can lean on. They don't have anything. Mm-hmm. The secondary, I feel like, is really underperformed. You might like Christian Gonzalez. I thought he kind of got exposed a little bit by Brian Thomas last week.
I think
week.
Kyle Duggar's been mostly good.
Duggar's been okay. In coverage, I still don't love him there. You know, he's a strong safety, and I think that, you know, between Marcus Jones and Jonathan Jones, they've had moments too, but they're not able to cover forever, and there's been no pass rush at all.
Right.
No, there's Trevor no Lawrence containment. Didn't have to wash a jersey after that game.
There's no containment whatsoever. It was a little bit different with Trevor Lawrence, but I agree. Like, the pressure's just not there. They're not bringing it.
Nope. Trevor Lawrence, clean jersey after the game. C.J. Stroud, I don't remember him hitting the deck all that much. And then there was the Niners game with Brock Purdy, who the one sack that they had, he couldn't find anybody and was standing there back behind the line for like 45 seconds. And eventually they sacked him. But like,
Dancing like you're going to be at the end of this show.
Probably. Yes, everyone's abandoning me today. And that's okay. I don't need help. I can sit here. I can do 3 hours. I don't need any help.
Okay.
But that's neither here nor there. This is a Jets team, as you said, that is going to be coming out with guns blazing, trying to recover from an ugly loss last week. This is a get-right game for all these teams. The Patriots are like the Panthers and these other teams that you just saw, the Tennessee Titans that you look at and think, okay, we need a win. This is where we're going to get it.
Yeah, the Jets have only Titans beaten... Titans will get it against you next week.
That could be, too. And the Jets have only beaten you and the Titans. You know, like, that's the type of team that they are right now. And I still think that you've got a real problem here, because this defense... supposed to be the strength of the team.
Well, look, they're obviously hampered by injuries and by other situations like Jabril Peppers. But so that's the one thing that irritates me, because about the Bill Belichick comments from earlier in the week, which we haven't talked about because it's kind of like old news at this point. Mm-hmm. But first of all, our kid, how funny is it? My heart goes out. I feel for those guys. Yeah. Like, wow, Bill, you're such a softy these days. I don't know, gotten in touch with a softer side of him. But on top of that, it's not the same defense. You traded Matt Judon. Okay, that's self-inflicted. Christian Barmore has the blood clot situation. Juwan Bentley goes down early in the season, mm-hmm. and Jabril Peppers has his situation.
Yeah, but Judon was hurt last year, and Gonzalez mm-hmm. was hurt last year, and the defense was much better.
It was, but at the same time, like, even back then when we were doing our afternoon show, I think we were still slightly more skeptical of the defense
that.
Than others, saying, hey, they're playing a lot of backup quarterbacks, and their whole, you can only play who's on the schedule, but maybe we're reading into this a little bit too much.
Yeah. Could be.
But they shouldn't look this bad.
No, they definitely shouldn't. There's no way that they should look like this against bad teams, and that's sort of the difference. Last year's defense, you knew, could at least go out there and stop a bad team.
And again, the stuff with Devon Godchow saying at the beginning of the month, guys are playing kind of selfish.
Yeah.
And this idea that guys are going out there and freelancing. Like, to me, that goes back to coaching. Where I don't know if it's DeMarcus Covington. Talking to guys in the locker room, it seems like Jerod Mayo is much higher level mm-hmm. than he was previously with the defense. So I'm not sure how hands-on he is day-to-day in practice and everything. On the game day, it seems like he's just kind of like standing by himself on the sideline
yeah.
talking to people in his headset.
Yeah.
So I don't know. To me, like, it all comes back to the coaching right now.
Okay, well, let's talk about the coaching then, because you've been in that locker room. You were there all this week. the coach came out and called the team soft and then walked it back immediately on Monday morning with the Greg Hill show, which, by the way, I heard you on the Greg Hill show. Nice job the other day.
Oh, thank you.
And I wonder, like, you're in there. You have more of an idea of how that landed and how the team reacted to it. And I think that there's something to be said for the idea that Mayo did say, this is on me and it's my fault and whatever, but you call a team soft, the fallout's going to be what it is. How was it received in the locker room?
I think it really varies. I don't know how much guys are honestly going to come out and say, like, I really hate that. Hunter Henry said it was a motivator. Duggar said it was that he was right. And I talked to Mike Onwenu at his locker, and I said, do you feel like there's a difference between him calling you guys soft and playing soft? Because honestly, to me, I don't think that's much of a difference.
No, I don't think so
either. I think it's just putting a qualifier to make it sound a little bit nicer.
Soft teams play soft.
Yeah, to make it sound like it's less of a personal attack and more like an attack about what you're doing on the field.
Sure.
Is how it played to me. But he was like, yeah, I think that there is a big difference. And it's in that it was about our performance that Sunday. And I'm like, I don't know. I think that overall, the biggest issue, again, is just that there's not guys in that locker room who are carrying the message through from the coach, whatever it is, to the younger guys on the team. And the craziest thing to me, which I think tells you how the locker room is right now, I was thinking about writing a column on Thursday when I was down there about how immature I feel that mostly the wide receivers, but different guys on the team are acting.
Okay.
And I thought, is that like kind of harsh? I don't know. Is that making it too personal? And then you get into a scrum with Kendrick Bourne, and it's like, hey, Kendrick, do you think that this is a maturity issue? And he's like, yes, I do. I do think it's an immaturity issue. And you're like, okay, hey, John Jones, do you think some of it has to do with like having younger guys don't really understand it? And he's like, yep, guys just don't get it. And you're like, okay, so I guess we're just out here saying it. And so I think some of it is like the lack of experience in that locker room, and the guys who are trying to communicate it are guys like Kendrick Bourne and John Jones, who are great guys and have good character and everything, but I'm not sure that in previous locker rooms they would be the guys who are trying to like bring the team together as captains or anything.
Yeah, Kendrick Bourne was asked about this. He said, this is where I want to be. I want to be here because when it starts popping, it's going to be popping, and I want to be part of it. My calling is to be here and help these guys here in this organization. I really like genuinely saying that. I really mean that, and so I'm excited where we're at. It's tough right now. It's supposed to be tough. And then he went on to talk about immaturity things, but he does seem like he wants to be here, and we were just talking about guys that maybe on the trade block. Kendrick Bourne, I forgot about him. You know, you sort of forget about him when you think about these wide receivers because, number one, he's barely played at all this year. Number two, he's not popping off as much as some of these other guys are. But he had something to say about that for sure. And I do think that, you know, there's not a lot of leadership in this room. Really.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The entire locker room, there's not anybody that you look at and you say, that guy's the one that they're all looking
to. I don't think it's like because guys don't want to be leaders. I think organically the makeup of the team doesn't lend to it, if you know what I mean. Guys like, again, John Jones, Kendrick Bourne, like, these guys aren't captains. And then you lose a bunch of captains. And then you're looking at your rookie quarterback and Drake is not a rah-rah guy.
Right.
Like, that's what other guys on the team have told me when I say, what is he like in practice? Like, is he a high-energy guy like Kendrick is? Is he like, you know? And they're like, he just goes about his business, you know? He's a rookie.
Yeah.
And so I think that would come off as a little strange if all of a sudden he gets in there and he's like, let's go, fellas. You know, like, if it's not who you are when you're a rookie, I think that that doesn't help the case.
I mean, Tom Brady walked right in and said, you know, here we go. This is my team
but
now.
But that's who he was.
That's right. It's true. It's a personality
thing. And some
thing,
people
yeah.
have to grow into that, or some people, it's also, he's played for 2 weeks
right.
and took the team over from Jacoby. It was Jacoby's team. And so I'm sure that there's some of it that's a little bit of a position where he doesn't want to step on toes.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Kyle Duggar. According to Doug Kide, Duggar is going through a pregame warm-up in front of the training staff. He will be a game-time decision. So we'll see if he's actually in this one or not. If not, you're going to be looking at who are the backup safeties? I was thinking about it now. I can't remember their names. Your backup safeties, who are Jalen Hawkins Marte Mapu, of course. Yeah. Mm. Who actually has been making some plays in the few times he gets out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, he's just very raw.
Yeah.
Marte Mapu is like it's just like the lack of experience out there that it's tough. Him and Keon White both.
Yeah. And Keon White, who has been, I thought was going to be the MVP of this team. the way he came again. Look like he was shot out of a can those first couple of weeks. I haven't seen him. I haven't heard his name.
You haven't heard his name when
except for penalties.
I was going to say, yeah. When he gets those penalties, you hear his name.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate because I thought, you know, this is exactly what they need. Someone like Barmore going down. Now this is when your next guy steps up. And I thought that was going to be a
right.
good...
Right, or trading Matthew Judon. You say, well, sure. We have the younger guy and we're going to develop him.
Yep.
Takes a little bit longer than maybe you were expecting.
Yeah, he's been terrible at setting the edge. He's not getting to the quarterback anymore. He's playing ahead of your captain, Dietrich Wise. There's another. It's the only captain who's left, right? Is Wise, who's the only one who hasn't gone down with an injury. And I don't know. I don't really feel like he's taking the reins of leadership on this team. Brissett, he got benched, and I didn't really know that he was doing that either. It seemed like people were more frustrated with him than following him in the battle. And that's just sort of what this team is. And that's an unfortunate reality for the Patriots and for their fans this year, is that they're doing their best. I don't think that they're out there throwing games or anything like that, but this is their best. This is what it looks like. And it's not pretty this year. It's much worse, I think, than anyone was expecting.
Yeah. And okay, so going back to the comments that we started the show with, when you hear Kayshon Booty in that audio talking about how he like shouldn't have to go and ask for the ball, and he's going over and asking for the ball, and the times when he's made big plays is because he asked for the ball, do you think that that's more of a indictment against Drake or Alex Van Pelt?
I think it's more on the coaching staff, because now
so
Booty's
too.
Actually getting the ball a little bit, and I think what he's saying is, you know, these coaches aren't running up enough plays for me, not that Drake's not looking for me. I think that's what it sounds like. Here's what Booty had to say. Here's the audio.
I'm sorry, I thought you said Bourne. That's my bad.
Oh, never mind. All right, he was telling me you got the Bourne audio. All right, let's hear the Bourne audio then.
It's just staying focused on what's important, and I think that's where we've been failing is, you know, getting distracted by everything else and being too individualized. And, you know, football is the ultimate team sport, so it's tough. And as a leader, I just have to tell the young guys from my experience, you know, how I've even gotten to this point was being a team guy, was just, you know, not thinking about myself all the time. And it's tough. It's not easy. So it's easy to say, but it's hard when you're out there running 30 routes and you don't get the ball sometimes. So,
all right. So that was Bourne, and he was talking about that very thing you just mentioned. Listen to who we're talking about here. We're talking about Kayshon Booty, who was drafted in the sixth round. Pop Douglas, another sixth round pick. Kendrick Bourne was not drafted, right? Javon Baker's a fourth-round pick. Thornton and Polk were both second-rounders. And when was K.J. Osborne drafted? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
K.J. Osborne was... the point is, like, we're not talking about people who came into the league with major expectations about what they're going to be. We're talking about fringe draft picks who were, like, at the end of this. And guys in the sense of Polk and Thornton... Thornton, in particular, who's already been in the league a few years and hasn't been able to get open at all. I mean, that's what we're talking
about. That's, I think, what Kendrick was saying there, and I was in that conversation when he was talking about that. He's like, the reason I'm still in this league playing is because I am a team guy.
Right.
Is because I grew up a little bit.
KJ
Osborne's
a fifth-round pick, by the way.
Yeah, I figured out, like, my place in different locker rooms. That's why I'm here. Like, you guys, it's kind of like, if this is your second year on the team, then what are we talking about? You know, if it's your first year, then you're a rookie. You shouldn't even be saying things like, I've got the best hands in the league, especially when you're dropping the ball week after week in Jalen Polk. But I think that's what Kendrick was trying to say there. Like, why are you so focused on yourself? The way that this league will chew you up and spit you out if you don't find a place for yourself in it. And if you're only focused on your production and your stats and not where you fit in with the team, it's not going to go very well.
Yeah. Make sure to vote in the poll at Megan_Ottolini. The biggest area of concern for the Patriots today, offensive line still leading the way at 40.3%, followed by coaching at 37.2%. My pick, which is the defense, at 21.5%. And then there's quarterback, a weird, bold 1% going against the grain, saying they're concerned for the quarterback.
Somebody on the text line says that one voter was Jacoby.
It was Jacoby Brissett. It makes sense, yes. The only thing I can think is that the answer there is offensive line. Like, what are you most concerned of? Well, the offensive line's going to get the quarterback killed, or something bad's going to happen to the quarterback. I could sort of see that, because if something bad happens to the quarterback today, you know, we talk about rock bottom.
Oh, my God. Please don't even put
I'm just saying.
There.
Like, I'm saying it so it doesn't happen. But that's the last piece of positive news on this team. And it's a big one, too. The quarterback's an important part of any organization, of course, and it looks like he got something there, and he's been good these first 2 weeks. He's going up against a better defense, I'd say, this week. Certainly a better secondary. This is the best secondary he's faced so far. Houston's got a good front, not a great secondary. Jacksonville's secondary is not very good. This Jets secondary is. So we'll see how Drake May responds to that, and we'll talk about it with our old pal Fitzy, who joins us from the tailgate next.
Well said, Wiggy. That was Aaron Rodgers trying to keep everything sanguine and with no denouements or whatever the SAT words of the day he was using there as he was describing the current state of the New York Jets, which is certainly not a good one, but this could be a get-right game for them. With more on that, live from the tailgate, your pal and mine, Nick Fitzy Stevens, is brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today. Your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K. And the number four. Hello, Fitzy. How are we doing?
Well, good afternoon, good morning, and good game day from the Big on Main tailgate located in 3B here at Gillette Stadium. I am happy to report there is life again at the stadium, Arcan, mostly because everyone wants to do two things today. Be outdoors with their friends and see the Patriots hopefully beat the Jets.
Okay, very good. Were you just singing when we went to you? Did I interrupt a performance, Fitzy?
No. That's the Big on Main band back there.
I see. Okay.
I think it's Lenny on guitar, Ted on tambourine, and they're playing their favorite song called Jets Suck.
Okay, I like that. Sounds like a good song. Now, despite what was a very tumultuous week in Foxborough with the team and the organization, seems like the tailgate's back on, huh? Sounds like everything's going well down there.
You know, it's amazing how the fans have quickly adopted the same mentality, Arcan, that we're hoping that the receivers, that the defenders, the ones that were called out, the ones that Alex Van Pelt said they should keep it in the room, the ones that Coach Gerard Mayo called soft just a couple of days ago. Yeah, there's a cornerback's memory out here right now and a resilience among the fans that basically is just telling me, like, look, I don't care what the state of the team is right now. The weather is beautiful. These steak tips aren't going to eat themselves. The lattes won't drink themselves.
Lattes.
And the people are out here, Bud lattes, you know, that's what they like. That's what the kids call them, I've been told.
Oh, cool.
I refuse to reference hard seltzers unless they're a sponsor of me or the program. But, yeah, everyone out here, it's not the most raucous scene. It was a little livelier, we'll say, for the Seattle home opener coming off the Take 'em to the Hill game. But we're not at Take 'em to the Hill, but we're also not at soft football team. Right? Put it this way, this is not a soft tailgate.
Fitzy, what would you say the temperature among the fans that you're hanging out with is about Gerard Mayo and the rest of the coaching staff?
46 and windy.
Okay. But it's not raining.
It's brisk and breezy out here today. No, it's not. Is it going to rain ever again, by the way? And when did fall become the new summer? I'll take your calls at 617-779. Mayo, it's not. Put it this way. It's fun to be out here right now talking to the fans, getting a little past positivity back in my football soul, Mego. Mm-hmm. But Gerard Mayo is not the toast of the town. He is definitely not the bell of the ball. Once or twice today I've been stopped for a steak tip and a high five followed by, hey, Fitzy, you think Mayo makes it through the season? I think we all need to pump the brakes on the hashtag fire Mayo. Does he make it through the season? He's here for a couple of years, and he truly has been given I don't want to go too school nerd on this one, but he's been given a Sisyphusian task, if you will. Like, here you go. Here's a rookie defensive coordinator. You're a rookie head coach, a veritable rookie offensive coordinator, a rookie vice president of player personnel, and you're not allowed to spend to the full salary cap ceiling. But otherwise, enjoy the show, Mrs. Lincoln.
Yeah,
like
right.
It's a super tall task for Mayo, and while he's done himself absolutely no favors with the Say What You Want Sunday followed by Walk It Back Monday on WEEI. But, you know, we're not going to know what his coaching style is like. We're not going to know what he truly is like as a coach, and we're not going to know what the true culture of this team is until they calm down, settle on a roster, and then ultimately, and I know this is going to make Shime happy, just go full 94 Bledsoe and shaking Drake out there, baby.
You might have to see that. Shime's not with us today. He's out with strep throat, but I'll send your regards to wherever he is now recuperating.
Okay. Did he catch it from you last week? Because he sounded a little rough on the radio Thursday and yesterday. He was absolutely dragging rear end. So,
okay.
All right, wherever you are, Shyam, I hope you're well.
I know. T's and P's to Shyam. You just mentioned you think that Mayo's going to be here for a couple of years. I tend to agree, but
yeah. It
does sort of seem like based on rumors and rumblings and non-denials by certain people who would know these type of things, that maybe ownership is starting to, if sour's the wrong word, maybe start questioning his capability for this job. Because, listen, you mentioned the culture and how it's going to take a while for the culture. That shouldn't take much longer than 8 weeks to establish a culture. And right now, this culture sucks.
Yeah, this culture club will tumble for you. There you go, Mago. There's your first 80s song reference of the day.
Wow. Very good.
And you know what? Sometimes I really look at them and I say, do you really want to hurt me? Which it seems they want to do every Sunday. I apologize for nothing. It's football
Sunday.
Keep
them coming.
I'm a karma chameleon that changes shape every day.
Nice.
Okay. So listen, Arkan, like, as far as, now I'm pushing it too far. I should have let it go.
Okay. Beat it.
As far as like ownership questioning Mayo, like, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe there's been some internal dialogue over like, hey, Mr. Kraft slash dad slash boss, you know, I understand why you think Mayo has it, but should we may have steeped him in a little more experience before dumping the responsibility and the weight of one of the premier franchises in North American sports, let alone the NFL, on his shoulders? You know, he got 5 years on-site training with, you know, his former coach as his mentor and head coach on the sideline and working with Steve Belichick and everything. But was that really enough to go from, you know, a co-defensive coordinator all the way to head coach? And I got to say, maybe this is time for ownership to pull a Monday Mayo and not walk it back, but pull out that flashcard that has a photo of a mirror and look at it, because did they really do him justice or a proper service by giving him, you know, no true wide receiver one, a patchwork offensive line that they bought at five below in the offseason, and, you know, all these injuries and not enough depth to replace the Barmores, Bentleys, Peppers, et cetera, no true wide receiver one, a fragile running back? I mean, like, this – What head coach is going to step in here and all of a sudden go 4-3 or 5-2? Like, the old Star Trek phrase was, it's a Kobayashi Maru. It's a borderline unwinnable scenario.
Fitzy, is there any sense of the fans that you talk to that, well, at least we're not the Jets dysfunction where they're spending a ton of money and they have everything invested in Aaron Rodgers and they got the pieces and they still can't make it work?
Yeah, there. You know what there is? There's a significant sentiment, Mego, down here of, look, I know we're probably not going to win many games the rest of the season, but the Jets embarrassed us on national streaming television, and we need to put one on them. Like, nothing would be happier. Nothing would make these fans happier if they're going to squeeze one or two more wins out the rest of the way than watching Drake May get a little revenge against one of his goats in Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, there will always be the lust for beating the Jets, if nothing else. Absolutely, 1,000%. As far as, you know, as far as their dysfunction, they know that the Jets are as, if not more miserable than the Patriots right now, because they've spent to the ceiling and beyond, and they still can't squeeze a win. And a wide receiver they had to trade for 2 weeks ago is the one who had to address the team and tell them to pull their head out of their collective you-know-what.
Yes, not a great situation there, but arguably a little bit better than here. With that in mind here, Fitzy, two-part question. Number one, what do you expect to see from Drake May today? And number two, Jersey Watch, what are the jerseys you're seeing tonight?
Somebody just walked over with four steaming lobsters, a five-gallon tray of chili, and 60 chicken parm sliders on the grill. Holy
damn.
And 55 women. Oh, my gosh. This is like... Honestly, if I wanted to go out, I best go out with the cast of 80 for Brady, because this is the greatest day of my life, guys, and I don't even know if the Pats are going to win. I think you see a great, tough, hard-fought game today, and I think people expect to see, oh, now I got guys grabbing me for selfies. This is madness. I say at this point, it really is a magical time. I hear now another one. It'll be a great day out there, and they'll play hard.
What is going on down there?
Sounds like Fitzy's getting assaulted, is what it sounds like.
happily.
No, I have the photos to back. I have the photos to back it up. I say Drake May throws the ball an absolute ton today. This is a sling it and wing it type of day. What are you going to do? Like, you know, oh, look, another delayed draw to Antonio Gibson. Oh, student body left with Ramondre once again. Oh, my gosh, you're kidding me. A screen to Jamichael Hasty? What play calling? No, I'm going to lose my blank if Javon Baker is a healthy scratch once again and Tyquan Thornton gets to take 17 footsteps for every one that he should possibly take, and he's out there because Jalen Polk isn't out there today. Well, I mean, the only thing you have to lose is a game, which in a team that needs to find a culture and try to play tough, get out there, try to take the physicality to the Jets, who are just equally a mess because they scapegoated Robert Saleh for Lego coach Ulbrich. Come on, and throw the ball. That's what these fans want. All they want to do, the hard-earned money, they just want joy, and there will be legitimate joy in the stadium if they can just put a helmet on Quinnen Williams and give Drake the time to get out there and do what the Orlovskis and the Chase Daniels are so amazed by. Read, react, and wing it. That's all. That's all I can ask for.
All right. That is your old pal Fitzy, Nick Stevens, live from the tailgate. Get on back there. Give the people what they want, Fitzy, and we'll talk to you next week.
Be careful, all right? Too, with whatever's going on down there.
Hey, hold on. Hold on. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
I was gonna try to give you guys a big let's go pass, but that's okay.
That's all right. We know where their heart is. Enjoy the Mainers. Enjoy the Maniacs. We'll talk to you next week, Fitzy. Thanks. That's Nick Fitzy Stevens live from the tailgate there. The mayor of the tailgate, basically. I mean, come on. Fitzy walks around there. It's like the Beatles are at the Ed Sullivan Theater. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we'll be joined by NBC Sports Boston's Tommy Curran.